Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of November, recording at 10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, we've got a soft stock market tone here generally today. I mean, really, it's the background that I don't like too much here in the short term because, as I've mentioned in recent audios, we've had such a strong run, including last month, but it's a run that goes back really over an entire year. And so valuations are higher on a short-term basis, again, following last month's big gains. We have a lot of short-term overbought conditions in these markets. And we're seeing signs of slippage. I'm not looking for anything disastrous in here, that's for sure. But I do feel that we are overdue here for a pullback towards these rising 200-day moving averages by the performing stock market indices, and there are quite a few of those. Now, looking at other signs, I think that tend to coincide with the beginning of reaction, at least reaction phases and also correction phases in the markets, as they're slightly bigger than the reactions, in my terminology. Government bond yields have edged up here again today, a little more than edged up. The U.S. 10-year, for instance, which I think is probably the most important one to watch, given the size of the U.S. economy, but that had bottomed at around the 2.47 level, a couple of weeks ago, and we're now up today to 2.67, and it's gone up faster than it had actually come down. Also, we know that I feel it's reasonably certain that we are in an overall bear market for government bonds, meaning that the long-term trend is for these yields to be pushing higher. And to get back to the shorter-term point that I was making, though, when stock markets are getting a bit soft, we are due for a reaction. We see the bond yields push up somewhat, as is taking place here right now. We also see the dollar steady. And although that was down a little bit on the dollar index on Monday, it's pushed back up here again. And so it's at 80.770. And you remember 79 was that big test on the downside. So the dollar has pushed up fairly sharply and looks as if it could easily move somewhat higher in here. And similarly, some of these other currencies have come off against the dollar, such as the euro down to 134.75, sterling down to, sterling's up a little bit here today, got back up over 160. It's up at 1.6047. But overall, the dollar is higher against more currencies than it's lower against in here today. And the short-term outlook for stock markets, I mean, the S&P is just range-bound here, but it's range-bound on a bit of a stalk to the upside following that last big rally. Other markets, which tend to be higher beta, are weakening. I mean, Europe's had such a good run recently, but have a look at the European Banks Index, that's SX7E, and also the SX5E. They've certainly lost upside momentum here and could easily see a bit of an additional pullback. We're getting a bit of an additional pullback in Japan, one of my favorite markets for not only this year, and of course we're into the last 2 months of this year, but also for the medium to longer term. I really do like Japan, but it does look as if it is susceptible to a bit more of a pullback and consolidation before it completes this medium term reaction and consolidation phase that we're seeing overall. So the message really is that I'm certainly not a big bear. I haven't taken any long positions out of my stock market portfolio. I do have a little S&P short position, but it really is tiny relative to my long positions overall. But I would be careful in here in the short term. In other words, I wouldn't be chasing any of these stock markets higher. And I don't like the background where a lot of investors who were worried about crashes exactly a year ago are now talking about further PE multiple expansion. At the background, if I'm too cautious in here, the big factor would be that we've still got this quantitative easing taking place. But, you know, I look around and a lot of the people who would generally be categorized as more in the smart money camp seem to be either just starting to rein in positions a little bit, in other words, take some profits, but they're doing that, or they're poised to reduce exposure if they see any real weakness in here. So again, just a cautious note here overall. Now, what else have we got going on? The commodity markets. Well, this is interesting. Owen's written about these today. He's got an interesting section on it. And first thing is that the CCI, that's that cumulative commodity index, which has equal weightings, that's down to 504. So this is getting very close to that 500 floor area. And looking at the chart, it really looks like it's going to break down. And to offset that, we would have to have quite a clear upward dynamic with some follow through here. And that's always possible, of course, when you get back to what has been a critical support level for quite some time. But I won't believe it until I see it, and because this is still in an overall downward trend. Now, I've attributed a lot of this to, I think, just the soft global economy generally. And I certainly think that is a factor, but Owen makes a very good point that there are other factors, not least in terms of the industrial commodities, where miners had invested very heavily in additional production because of what had appeared to be China's insatiable decade. Insatiable demand for industrial resources. And that has been reined in considerably, as you know. So that's led to increased supply, and we have not yet seen enough in the way of cutbacks in that production that the miners have brought on stream. Really to lift these metal prices significantly off their lows. I think it's going to be a combination both of some supply reductions, and they are gradually introducing those, but also some increased demand to indicate that we're back into an improving growth environment rather than this lull that we've seen here for the last several months for a good many markets. And on the agricultural commodities, we've had successful crop cycles. That's very good news. not least in terms of staple grains, but also we had a lot of additional plantings that had taken place from Brazil to the resources producers in some of those ASEAN economies within Asia. So there's plenty of the stuff around is the key point. And then the third component here is that you go back to the period of 2003 right up into 2008, the beginning of 2008, and it had become very fashionable for a lot of speculators and indeed some long-term investors to establish longs in commodity tracking funds. And if anything, that process has been reversed, I would say, over the last couple of years. But don't rule out the possibility or the probability, I would say, that we're also seeing some slowdown in actual overall demand. So what that will mean is that the disinflationary or deflationary concerns, at least as indicated by GDP growth and also commodity prices, will ensure that central banks are going to want to remain accommodative for a while longer. And that should prevent a significantly bigger setback in markets, which I would say would be a largish correction when we actually get into the next QE tapering process. Okay, what else to mention? Crude oil. This is really quite interesting because one of my major forecasts, and this service's major forecast, is Owen has a very similar view on this, is that we needed a decade or so in here to get sufficient energy sources on stream to prevent another one of those very damaging spikes in crude oil prices. So we still have a fairly tight supply-demand balance here, but as every month passes by, you know, we get a little bit more fracking that's actually undertaken. We get a little bit more implementation of some of the renewable energy sources. And we are still seeing technological developments in terms of the conventional oil fields. That's all continuing. And that has outweighed in recent months some of the unsettling conditions that we've seen in the Middle East, and not only in the Middle East, but also in Nigeria and other oil production regions. And today, as I look at these prices, the WTI, that's the U.S. contract, of course, that slipped down to $93.64. The more important contract, more reflective of global conditions, is the Brent. But Brent is also pulling back, and it's at 105.57. And that's down about $5 from what it was a week to 10 days or so ago. So a definite softening here in the crude prices overall. Now, again, I think that's good news for the medium to longer term. The most damaging news we could possibly see would be another spike in crude oil prices, and there's clearly no evidence of that taking place at this time. But it is also another indication of just sort of general softness in here in terms of the global economy. And that's the background that we will have to, or that we can expect to continue for a little while longer here. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.